Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, you know, my mom had some computer problems, so guess who she called?
I would hope not you.
She called me.
You call me every time you have problems.
I know. Well, even when she has problems, I got to have a little, I got a phone call a little bit later on today. I need you to pick up. No, you know what? Her laptop's super slow right now. But I'm thinking, out of all the people in the family, I'm like the computer guy. There's a problem when you are the computer guy in your family. You don't know anything about computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I've learned some stuff along the way with Tom about what's going on and make sure that all the, you know, updates are updated and all that stuff. So that's what I'm working on right now. So if I can't fix it, I'll call you later on.
It's all right. You don't have to.
But you ever think about, like, when you do have your computer, you're done with it, your cell phone, whatever, what do you do with those things? 78% of the computers or cell phones, stuff like that, they say contain readable personal or business data still on them. That blew me away. 67% of the drives had some kind of personal identifiable information on them.
That shocks me that it's only 67% because I would think 99% of them do. Most people don't go and erase their hard drive at the end.
You told me to take a hammer to mine.
That's probably the best thing you could do. Put it in a fire or things like that.
But you know what? You can get some money out of the cell phone. Like if you turn that back in.
Right. Well, you can erase your cell phone and set it back to a factory reset, which I don't know would necessarily keep a dedicated hacker out, but it will keep pretty much safe.
Yeah, a lot of people don't do that, though. 43%.
Really? Because it's so easy. It's just a menu option, well, reset to factory.
But I know, but you got like older people out there that's not doing it. And other people that just are not tech savvy that are not doing it. 43% of the items had photos on them. 24% had drives, had like some kind of GPS data. So what would that be?
That would be GPS data of where you've been.
I guess on the phone?
Right. Okay. Your phone is a GPS unit.
I mean, it tells me where I've been.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't remember and I'll look it up.
23% of the things that were traded in had their social security numbers on them.
Right.
So that's kind of crazy. I think it's harder with some of those desktops or even laptops. Can you do the factory sitting on a laptop as well?
You can, but it's harder than a phone.
21% of the drives had financial data.
See, those numbers sound low to me.
Yeah, and then about 30% of the drives had resumes on them.
Which is no big deal. Might get a job out of it.
Well, it's a bunch of lies right there anyway, right? But what do you do with the hard drives when you, I mean, there should be like a, I wish they had like a hard drive or a cell phone shredder so you could just like put it.
they do. The city of Greenville, at least twice a year, has a shredding event where you can bring all your electronics. In fact, I've taken old monitors and my old hard drive that I'd already cleaned off everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I took that. Hopefully they shredded it.
I have my own system. I have just about every computer I ever owned sitting in a closet.
Well, that's the only one I've ever turned in. I still have three laptops sitting.
Yeah, they don't take up that much space.
And I got pretty much most all my previous phones I still have.
Now, if you're even slightly tech savvy, if you take the hard drive out, that's even a smaller thing to keep at your house. And then you can trash the rest of the computer safely. Yeah. So if you just take out that little rectangle hard drive.
Too late.
I know. And for a lot of people, they don't understand what that is, and I get it.
Yeah.
But if you do know what it is, it's super easy to take out. It's not very very big, and you could just throw those in a box.
I don't think I'm going sledgehammer style. Sounds like a lot more fun anyway. Well, like one of those rage rooms.
You got to get the hard drive, though, because you can sledgehammer the computer all day, but if you don't take out the hard drive, they've got the data.
Trust me on that one, because I did that. I took my sledgehammer in.
Really?
And yeah, and then I brought it in and showed Tom, and he goes, you got to take that hard drive right there. It was in perfect condition.
I don't even own a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to throw it off a bridge.
A regular hammer will work if you do it right.
But a lot of people are getting rid of the desktops, too. It's all laptops or cell phones nowadays. Right. Before you know it, you know the computer's going to be the size of, you know, your pinky fingernail.
It will be your fingernail.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to read emails. So.
I will say another thing you could potentially do is if you do ever do trash fires at all, you could throw your hard drive in the trash fire, and that would probably wipe it out pretty well, too.
Well, even some of the corporate computers they research had all kinds of retrievable information on them. Businesses are throwing out their computers and stuff, and they forget the hard drives. And
a lot of times they sell them in
all
bulk.
Kinds of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although school systems are particularly big on this, that you can go and you'll buy this pallet full of old computers for a few hundred bucks, and the data is all still on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
that's embarrassing, ain't it?
Look at my grades.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on
B93.7. You ever hear about a law and you think to yourself, I thought that was already a law and it's new? That happened to me today. I just found out in Connecticut, they have passed a law that if you want to marry your first cousin, you only have about a week to do it before it becomes illegal.
Oh, well.
They're making it illegal to marry your first cousin.
What's wrong with them?
You know, that's an interesting question to ask, is whether or not this should be a law. On one hand, I think there's some pretty good evidence that first cousins have a higher incidence of birth defects with their children.
Well, yeah.
Because you have such a closeness of genes, and the recessive genes start to pop up, and that's not a good thing. But there are other areas where we would not want politicians jumping in that right. could argue for the same thing. You could make this case for like older couples or older anything, because the older you are when you have children, the higher incidence there is for problems. So if you wanted to get crazy about it, the government could step in and go, well, listen, you guys are past child rearing ages, so you can't, you know, be married, because, or especially if one of them's much older than the other. So you have like a 80-year-old man marrying a 20-year-old woman, and they're like, which that happened like with the Anna Nicole Smith stuff and all that, marrying the rich billionaire and everything. They could be like, no, because if you guys have kids, they could be messed up.
Now, you probably don't have this information. I'm curious what states do allow you to marry your first cousin.
Well, like, let me see. Is there a site where you can ask questions like that?
I wish there was a way we could figure that out.
Well, no, you know what? That's kind of interesting. You think about it, there's some that probably allow it.
But, you know, I've been married. I never remember them asking for my family history. So how do they know if it's your cousin you're marrying?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Your aunt and uncle's going to know.
Well, I mean,
so it's illegal to marry your first cousin in 27 states plus the District of Columbia, and that'll be 28 whenever they add Connecticut to the list.
So more of it is loud, I guess, than I thought.
Some people's family genes must be better than ours, because I don't even think there's a cousin that I would want to look at that way in my family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, just to let you know.
You clearly feel different.
South Carolina is one of the states where it's still legal.
Yeah.
So basically, you're looking at Alabama, Alaska, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia all permit first cousin marriages.
And Tori, being that we are worldwide now, and your cousin's probably listening, you just offended them, saying you ain't interested in them.
I'm sorry, Baba.
You know, I didn't have any first cousins that I was attracted to, but I had some like second cousins that I thought were hot. I mean, second cousins getting pretty far removed, right?
So what is the limit for you? Like, where would you cap it?
Well,
you're
like, obviously,
you're my brother, so this is too close,
siblings
kind of thing.
Is definitely wrong.
No, step.
Step is fine.
Brady Bunch did it.
half is not, but step is fine. So, because that's someone who's not even genetically related to you. but then I think first cousins, I'd have to look at the medical evidence. But clearly it's a problem in half the states in our union.
For me, I'd have to look at the pictures.
Bless.
Of his cousins. So you have to see if they were hot or not. Yeah.
Third cousins, all right. Yeah.
Third cousin seems legit to me. Why, you got something you want to tell us?
No.
Oh, okay. No. And then you get into all those cousins once removed and all that stuff. All right. I think when it becomes difficult to explain the relationship, it's okay.
What does that mean, once removed? Is that the family's like, let's pick him up and put him over there?
I think it's like your cousin's cousin or something like that.
Oh.
Or something like your cousin's kid or I don't know. It's
That's
weird.
Your third cousin.
Hey, you know, there's something we can probably look at online where you can find out that information.
It's too complicated.
I thought it was a cousin of divorce. Is that not a thing?
I don't think so.
It's very confusing.
I don't think that's what once removed means.
Well, let's look it up.
Well, can you have them twice removed, like a twice-baked potato?
Yes.
Okay. this is all very confusing.
Well, let's stick with first cousins then. That's easy to understand.
I feel like at this point, our family tree is starting to look like a twig. The more we try to explain this.
Obviously, some states are more like that than others.
Once removed with reference to cousins, separated in relationship by one generation.
So that is what? Like your cousin's kid.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's what I was...
That makes my...
Huh? Yeah. Hold on. So if my cousin had a kid, is my cousin once removed?
Yes.
The example here is mother's cousin's granddaughter. That makes her my second cousin once removed.
So that's a second once
removed.
I'm
okay with dating them, man. Mother's all right.
cousin. Who's? Yeah. What? This
don't
is
matter.
So confusing.
All I know is what it said is, if my cousin has a hot daughter, I can look at her and not be, like, illegal.
But it feels a little creepy.
Oh, I mean, he would probably beat me up.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
That family reunion's going to be a little weird.
You got no room to talk.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hey, it's Classical Music Month.
Really?
Studies show if a pregnant woman plays classical music for her unborn child, the baby will be more intelligent. And it's worth trying. Maybe the kid will be smart enough to change his own diapers. It might be kind of good.
As long as I don't have to listen to it.
Yeah. I always thought this had been kind of disproven.
Yeah.
That it didn't really make any difference what music you played.
Well, you know what? I don't know so much if it's in the womb, but experts say, will playing music in the nursery turn your kid into a math genius? Exposing your child to music is good because it helps them develop spatial skills, they say, especially in the nursery. I don't know if you've got something set up or how you do it, but they say it doesn't have to be any specific artist. It doesn't have to be Mozart or Bach or any of those, you know, fancy guys.
Sorry.
It can be Jelly Roll, Taylor, Tay-Tay, maybe Post Malone. But then I guess they can identify the music across the room there. Gives them little spatial skills there. But, you know, you might not want to do the, you know, rap music with foul language and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not good for the babies.
So I'm confused by all this because you're talking about spatial skills and then you were talking about math, which those are different things. I can see how music could help you with math because music is math-based.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
But I don't understand how it can help you with spatial skills. Because spatial skills are like being able to drive a car well and being able to determine those things. I don't get it.
Well, it just says exposing your child to music is good because it helps them develop spatial skills.
The closer you get to the music, the louder it is.
Okay.
Hey, it's like that Bert and Ernie thing on Sesame Street where he's like, near, and then he runs. Four. I still remember that.
I do too.
Yeah. That's how I learned my spatial skills. All right. Breastfeeding babies do better academically. We knew that one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that could be a lot of things. It could be a breastfeeding mom also does a lot of other things better too.
All I know is I read that the child gets like 90% of its intelligence from the mother, so I'm doing whatever it takes to cancel that out.
Okay, they generally do better with math and IQ tests if they are breastfed. And then will teaching a baby sign language help them speak faster and score higher on IQ tests? So researchers found that babies who learn simple hand gestures for words like dog or... I'm sorry, I wasn't breastfed. Hold on a second. I really wasn't, just to let you guys know. But simple hand gestures for words like dog and eat start speaking earlier and outscore other kids in language tests as they get older. So make sure that you are using the word when you're doing sign language.
So what I keep seeing now is that you're trying to teach more, like you want more food,
yeah.
You want more milk. So it's the two fingers together, but it said every millennial parent trying to teach their baby more, and they're like, give me more, give me from Britney Spears.
Okay.
What about the hand gestures you use when you're in traffic?
You do not want to teach them that.
I taught my kids that early on. I thought it was good.
They will learn that on their own, okay?
Yeah.
And then if I hold my baby against my body as often as possible during the first year, will that make them smarter? What do you think?
I don't think it'll make them smarter, but it might give them more security.
Evidence that babies who are held close to their mother's bodies as often as possible develop trust quicker and cry less in the first year.
Yeah, so get off my back. Let me hold my baby. I am so tired of people being like, you're spoiling him. You cannot spoil a child with love.
You're kind of freaking me out with your, like, songs. You're like, I want my baby back, baby back, baby
back. You
know
what happened is, like, I was really tired, and now I'm not, and I'm coming alive.
Okay.
I had a friend who had a newborn, and we'd go into a restaurant. She'd immediately pull the baby up and hold it. And I'm like, why are you doing that? He wasn't crying. I said, believe me, there's going to be a time you wish you could put him back in that car seat and him not move. So let him be. Enjoy your freedom.
Well, there's no.
She loved it.
There's no proof that lots of physical contact will boost your baby's IQ, though. It will just make them trust you quicker, and they say they cry less. Mm-hmm. Because you're spoiling them is when you hold them that much.
People always say that. You're spoiling that baby.
I don't agree with that. I think it's to hold them as much as you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember, just for fellas, put your shirt on in the middle of the night, though, just saying, you know, because you're trying to help the mama out, and you get up, and your shirt's off, and the baby's, like, spitting hair out. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's so funny, because he's like, he bit me. I'm like, welcome to my life.
Ouch. Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, if you were asked which state has the worst roads in the union, would you bet that our state was up there in the running?
Yes.
I would too, Cato, and I was shocked today to find out that I am wrong.
Yeah, we lost this little boy in our neighborhood. He is riding a bicycle with a pothole.
In fact, my mom's husband was pulled over recently because they thought he'd been drinking.
Yeah.
He goes, it's just the potholes. And I said, during the meme that goes around, it says, if you're drunk driving in South Carolina, you go straight, you hit all the potholes. But if you're not drunk, you're swerving around all the time, right?
Well, I was shocked to find out that we are not in the top 10 of worst states.
Wow.
Now, I'll start off positive, and we will look at the states with the best roads. Indiana, surprisingly, number one. Kansas, South Dakota, Wyoming, Vermont, Tennessee, Hawk.
Yeah.
Idaho, Georgia, North Dakota, and Nebraska. Those were the best roads. So who has the worst roads in the union?
Georgia has the good roads.
You know, when you get to the border at Georgia, the roads get better.
It's been a while, but Atlanta, I hate that traffic.
Yeah, but the roads themselves are physically good.
Yeah, crossing the border, you're like,
You hit that smooth.
Yeah.
Very true. When you're going down 95, there's a big difference when you swipe. And you get more lanes when you hit Georgia.
It's kind of like when you've shaved your legs during the winter.
Yeah, it's so bumpy before.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I missed that spot. There we go.
Okay, so the states with the worst roads. The worst state in the union, believe it or not, I would never guess this. I wouldn't have known either way. Rhode Island. Hawaii is next for bad roads.
Road is in its word like Rhode Island.
It's the worst roads.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
And they misspelled it.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Silly
Hawaii,
goose.
Then New Mexico, Connecticut, Mississippi, Washington, Maryland, California, Pennsylvania, and Oklahoma. Those all have worse roads than we do. Ours are pretty bad. Those must be horrible.
Maybe South Carolina used the money we were supposed to put into the roads to pay these people off to not put us at the bottom of the list.
That makes no sense at all to me.
Yes, it does.
I know. You do understand. California is a big state. There's a lot.
They get a lot of money, though.
But are there more people in California?
Of course there are.
Are they?
Okay. It's one of the most populated states in the union.
Well, it's a big one.
But that doesn't make any sense. They get more money. They have more, you know, employees. They have people to do the roads.
But,
so it's really a matter of just whether you put your effort into them or not. Now, I could see this, New Mexico, but it doesn't make sense because Arizona's not in there, but it's a hot state. I could see that making the roads wear out quicker. But then Arizona's not in the worst 10, so that doesn't make sense.
In Florida, where are they? They're not even on here.
Well, this isn't everything. This is just the top 10 and the best 10.
Okay,
so that leaves another 30.
Because Well, Florida, when I lived there, I did not like those roads.
Really? Because I don't think I visited there with my parents, and the roads aren't bad. It's the old, you know, retired New Yorkers driving on them that makes it bad.
They've got sinkholes there. They're not worried about potholes.
I know, right?
They got bigger problems.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm excited for South Carolina. It's the first time we didn't come in dead last.
I know, right? We aren't even in the worst 10.
Yeah.
Go out there and make some more potholes. Yeah.
This gives us hope that there is. One thing it makes me think is that we could get our roads better. If we're not even in the bottom 10, there's room for us to get up into that, at least maybe in the upper half.
But when you hit a pothole and have to go get your wheels aligned, that's a problem here. And I've had that happen a couple times because your car will start drifting after you hit a couple of these potholes. They're big.
Well, you got to apologize to the car and hope it accepts it. You're like, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Please don't mess up.
When you're straddling a pothole and you still hit it, and like that's a big one right there.
Well, the way they did the percentage of roads that were acceptable. With Indiana had 97% of their roads were acceptable.
I'll be honest, I still don't want to move there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I'll stay here and hit a pothole or two.
Rhode Island had 55%, so barely half of their roads were acceptable.
I wouldn't want to live there either.
That's pretty bad. Now, just looking up to getting into the top 10 here, Oklahoma was the best of the worst, and it had 73%. So that would imply that South Carolina fell somewhere between 70% and 90% of our roads. That's higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
I would have thought we had more roads that were unacceptable than that.
Right.
But then again, I don't know what acceptable is. But our roads still have a lot of room for improvement, but at least we're not in the bottom.
Yay! Next year, South Carolina.
Yeah,
next
we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's a question for you. Average one of these will travel about 27,000 miles in a lifetime.
A car.
No.
That's actually longer. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
office chair.
Okay, well, that's a good answer, but it's not right.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're rolling all over the office there.
So what is it? Yeah.
It is a shopping cart.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I thought would go a lot further, but you think about it, you're just in the store going
through. Bro, 27,000 miles is a long way.
No wonder that wheel's wobbling, that one little wheel.
And how does that happen so quick? I mean, that's a grocery store can open brand new with brand new carts, and within a couple of weeks, you got a wobbly wheel on one.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I guess because people leave them outside on the curb in the rain.
They probably got like a 25,000-mile warranty, and after that, it's sort of like, too bad.
Yeah, but you know, and a lot of people, they will not put the shopping cart back where it belongs.
I did it once.
We're not going to call you out. This ain't about that. This is about when you have something that you don't want at the grocery store. What do you do with it? I've got the breakdown for you.
Well, if you've got meat and you set it on a shelf, you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I take it back to where I got it.
All right.
No matter what it is, if it's across the store, I will always take back something I don't want.
45% of the people, that's almost half, leave it where they are.
Wow.
That's so wrong.
That is wrong. What's wrong with you folks? I'm like, that milk's going to go bad.
Now, you're talking about everything or just some things? Because I could see, I don't think it's right, but it's not like the crime of the century to leave a box of cookies somewhere where it don't belong.
It's everything.
It's the crime of the century to leave meat or milk where it don't belong.
Now, see, I don't mind if someone does that with something that isn't going to spoil. Because if I'm walking by and say there are Oreos out of place, I'm like, well, God's telling me to get these Oreos.
Right.
He put them in front of me today.
There you go.
I was trying to avoid the cookie aisle, but here they are in the pan.
45%.
What?
Sorry.
What?
That's just not right. I can make some bad jokes, but I'm not gonna.
Ew, don't.
I'm not.
I didn't hear her either.
She said in
she
the
said
panty.
She said in the panty aisle.
Like, yeah.
Oh, in the panty
the aisle.
Aisle.
Yeah.
What did you think she said?
Well, I'm at the grocery store. I'm not at Walmart shopping. Yeah. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, they got panties at the Publix now?
Oh, Walmart sells everything.
Okay, so I got you. The Oreos in the panty section. Good thing.
But right. What were you thinking?
What?
What were you thinking?
I just didn't know why I was thinking. What? Why did she say panties?
He's an uppity shopper. He doesn't go to the superstores.
I do, too. I do, too. I'll say 45% of people leave it where they are. And then there's another percent. 11% say they hide it. Why are you hiding it?
Really?
Yeah, you're putting it behind something right there. That's just wrong.
That's just your jerk.
I agree, Cato. Yeah.
Well, only 18% bring it back to the rightful place or where they found it.
Now, wow, so I'm part of 18% only.
You are so good.
You do every single time. You've never picked up like a sucker and thought, no, I don't need this sucker, and put it down?
No,
never.
Never.
I don't believe that.
I do, because I don't.
Really?
First off, I've never really purchased or picked things up that I'm not going to buy. So I don't often have that happen, but I have done it. I've walked all the way back. I've gotten out of line, the checkout line, to go return something.
Yeah, yeah. I was out to my car one time. I brought it back in. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't need this.
I would like to say that I'm like Cato. I have never done that, but I can't say that. I would like to say that, but I will say I've never done it with anything that would spoil.
No.
Yeah.
I would never do that. I probably have been lazy enough to where I was like, you know, I just don't want this, and it's way on the other side of the store, and someone will get this.
I remember years ago, and I don't know where, but it was a grocery store that had a box at the big front of the store. It says, if you don't want what you got, put it here.
Oh,
and we'll
that's
take
good,
it back,
yeah.
Put it on the shelf. But I don't guess you could do refrigerated
plus
stuff.
You're also like, gosh, that box is still way out of the way.
All right. Hey, side note, how about when you do your clothes, when you're trying on clothes? Like, I know Kohl's, you can just hang it right there and they put it back for you. Do you take your clothes all the way back, the pants that didn't fit so well?
What I always did is I brought two stacks to the register, and I said, this is the stacks I want to get, and this stack I did not want. And then they fold them, because I can't fold them, right?
Yeah.
So they would put them back.
Yes, I put them back.
Cato does.
Yeah.
Usually I'm putting them back to find a bigger size because I have to go back anyway. But
I didn't think you were supposed to put them back.
Normally
there's a rack right there when you leave the
because
thinger.
Because they're wanting someone to fold them or put them the way that they put them away.
But it could be a hanger thing, too. You just got a hanger. Put them back on the hanger. Everybody can do a hanger, can't they?
Well.
Okay. And do you take it back, the item? Here you go. 5.8% leave it at the checkout counter.
Right.
So I think that's okay. Because I've done that before, too. I'm like, hey, I thought those were BOGO. They ain't BOGO. I don't want those.
Well, and I think if you do tell the cashier, hey, I don't want to get this, they'll take care of it.
Yeah, you've handled it at that point. Yeah.
And then 8.2% will peck the stock clerk on the shoulder and say, can you put this back for me? That's uppity right there.
Yes.
Like, excuse me,
I
know you're stocking the shelf right now. Can you stock this on aisle 14?
Yeah. that's pretty privileged of themselves.
8.2% have done that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's probably the same people that don't return their shopping cart.
No.
I did that once.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.